Om Shanti. Is everybody okay? Yeah? I can't see those at the back. There's lots of chairs here in the front. So if you want to move forward, it would be lovely to see your faces. Oh, this is the Burma group, is it? Tamil group? Okay, fine. Okay. So I'm going to start with the most obvious question to all of you. Two questions. Who keeps a chart here? One, two, three, four, five, six. Slowly, your hands are raising, not sure. Yeah? Okay. And my next question is, why do you keep a chart? So you can do checking and changing, yeah. You can see your progress, okay. To be aware of your progress, right. So, check and change, yeah, Papa talks about that a lot, doesn't he? He puts the pair together. So, the process of being able to check yourself makes you more aware of what's going on inside. Right? You start to get to see this person called Gopi, or whatever nature or personality you've come in with this birth. So it increases a sense of awareness. What else does it do? Makes you more attentive. What else? How would you know, yes, yeah, how would you know if you're remembering Baba and how long you're remembering Baba? Yes, one of the things that checking does is it increases our ability, yeah, it builds our capacity to make decisions. When does change happen? Change happens when you make a decision. It doesn't happen just by thinking. And so when you're able to check and see what's happening, you're in a better position to make choices. Right? And when you have the power of choice back in your hands, then you can make a decision. This is the track I want to go. This is the track I don't want to go. Yeah? That's the in-between phase that allows change. So for many of us, perhaps our decision-making capacities are weak, right? We want somebody else to tell us what to do. It's so much easier, isn't it? And then the next question is, how do I know I'm making the right decision? How do I know I'm making the right decision? Well, you know, in actual fact, there is no such thing as a right decision. You have to be right when you're making a decision. Yeah? Because a decision is very simply an act. An act you choose to take in a particular direction. And so, you take an act, you take a step, you see the consequences. And then, having seen the consequences, you take an act and you see the consequences. And so slowly, with each act, you forge, you create a path for yourself. You know, when many of us get trapped in overthinking about something. Yeah? In English we call this habit rumination. I don't know, in other languages, you know, you just keep thinking about the same thing again and again. And these are just habits. Okay? So the moment you start becoming self-aware, You start to see, why is my mind sticking to a particular thing? Why is my mind becoming so obsessive about something? Then you're able to give your mind, make a decision, to give your mind something else to be distracted by. You see? But if the checking isn't happening, then what happens? You just keep thinking, and thinking, and thinking. And what does it create eventually? You don't make any decisions. You paralyze. You become self-paralyzed in the process, right? Self-paralyzed. You paralyze yourself. Don't you? When you overthink too much, you create analysis paralysis. Right? So, what's very interesting, you know, for me, from very early on in Brahmin life, I began writing letters. When we were little, we would be encouraged to write a letter to Baba, Bapdada and Madhuban. And in those days, Baba would come in the season every few days, right? Early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, every few days Baba would come. So at least once a week I was sending a letter to Madhuban. And in those days, Shiluben would read the letters. And then we'd get an answer back, right? So this habit of relating to Baba began in writing a letter. Letters were a very important part of communication in the early days of the Yajna. You can see Brahma Baba sitting, writing letters, responding. So I think one of the first places of developing and building a relationship and then ultimately checking, is writing letters. You know, writing a letter to Baba every night. It's the first place you begin as a child. Right? You tell Baba everything. You reveal. And then as you mature in Gyan, you are already revealed to your partner. So you don't need to keep revealing yourself again and again. Right? But then it requires more refinement. A checking in with your partner. Now one of the things about this time that we're passing through now is that times are very delicate. And as the process of entropy speeds up, the potential for influences on the soul are greater. Yeah? And Baba's spoken about so many kind of influences that will, if you like, attack the soul towards the end. There's the influences of evil spirits, souls who leave their bodies suddenly, you know, suddenly out of, you know, maybe sudden deaths, earthquakes, natural disasters. There's the influences that come when matter is breaking down. There's the influences of your old nature and samskaras. There's the influences of the nature and samskaras of others. Now, in a hospital, when times are intense and delicate and a patient is coming in a critical condition, what do? The nurse keeps coming in and checking the vitals every half an hour, right? Blood pressure check, this check, heart rate check, monitor check, pulse check. The vitals are checked more regularly to ensure there is consistency. Yeah? And so these times now demand us to check in with ourselves more frequently, to check in with our vitals more frequently. Yeah? Because it's delicate time now. We're not now living in times where, you know, it's easy and whatever. You're facing many, many influences. So you have to create a framework of checking in where you're able to keep your vitals to know, okay, am I on a level? Is something fluctuating? Is some influence penetrating? And that just happens with making sure that you do something regularly. Now, what happens when we don't check in with ourselves I want to stop there, is that we live with a gap. You know, one of the things that, first of all, what are we checking? And Baba's made that very, very clear. Baba's talked about checking in terms of your inner vitals, which is your mind, your attitude, your consciousness, your drishti, where your intellect is going, the subtle checking, your checking of your vitals, and then the checking of your tea and the way you relate to others. Right? Relationships. Activity in relationships. Baba's made that very, very clear. And Srimad, what Baba gives us in the Murali, is completely re-educating us. You know, when I think about it, Baba was saying that it's one word, but Baba tells you what thoughts you should have, how you should see, how you should speak, with what consciousness to perform actions. Even how to sleep. You know, every element of Srimad is there to guide the soul's activity. So, when there isn't checking at a subtle level, then there are gaps inside. Gaps in my understanding. Gaps in my experience. And then there's also a feeling of not being at one inside. Yeah? Because your mind is doing one thing, your intellect is doing something else, and your behavior is doing something else. So for many of us, we live in a state of misalignment inside. And what does that breed? Discontentment. We actually live with a very subtle level of discontentment. Well, for some it might be gross. So when you start to check in with yourself regularly, what you're starting to do is aligning everything. You're aligning things to move in one direction. So that all the broken pieces of yourself come together. And alignment brings about deep, deep contentment inside. You know? When you're aligned and you're integrated, then there's such a lot of contentment inside. You're at one inside. There's no conflict with yourself because what you are, as you are, you see. And this energy of contentment is extremely important in a spiritual journey. This is what is going to propel you and put you into Satyug. Yeah, to live in Sangamyug with the sanskaras of contentment. Otherwise, when you're not checking, you live in a state of maybe subtle conflict and tension, and you just end up activating your sanskars of labor and warrior, your warrior sanskars. That's all. Now, what's an interesting thing is that when we check, we notice the gaps, right? Now, when we don't check, the ego fills those gaps. Okay? So the ego has a fantastic mechanism to fill gaps inside. Because the job of the ego is to make you feel good about yourself in that moment. Right? That's what it is. I mean, it's a pretty good protective mechanism, right? We hold up an ego so that we can put up a front, show I'm okay, I'm not that bad, it's okay, it's fine. And a number of ways the ego operates. It'll rationalize to fill the gap. It will justify to fill the gap. It will suppress. It will make you overthink. There are many, many mechanisms in which the ego gets activated if you're not checking. And so you end up overthinking things, overthinking gyan. And you run the risk of becoming intellectually constipated. Yeah. And then what happens? No digestion is happening. It's too much for me. I need a break. I can't handle this anymore. Right? Because, you know, we know about knowledge. Knowledge is understanding. Yoga is experience. But dharana is not application, it's assimilation. Assimilation, absorption. You know, when I'm having dharana about something, I'm absorbing virtues, Baba's virtues and powers, and emanating what I've absorbed. It's assimilation. Now, if I'm not checking, then there are other influences that work on me that don't allow me to increase my absorption power. Right? And this is why people can spend many years on a spiritual journey thinking about good things, thinking they have good yoga, but actually nothing's changing. There's no newness being experienced, right? Where's the intoxication? Because one of the most beautiful things about keeping a chart is that it has to be creating newness. That's one of the purposes of a chart. Yeah? And I'll go into later, I'll talk about what Baba has said in terms of what aspects we need to create newness in. But I want to just elaborate on the fact that my checking is a checking of my subtle organs. It's a checking of what the faculties of the soul, the first place is that checking. Because when that checking doesn't happen on living my Brahmin life through my senses, I become a spiritual junkie. You know what a drug addicts are? They go for the next fix. So then we think, well, if I go to this place, I'll have a good experience. If I go to this place, I'll have a good experience. This is exactly what we did in Bhakti. Right? We were junkies. We think we go there and we live our Brahmin life on the basis of what we feel. You see what I mean? And it's very, very deceptive. It's very, very deceptive, this aspect. So when I keep an eye on my subtle mechanisms inside, I become very alert and proactive in the moment. Yeah? Because checking empowers the original self. Just the very act of checking is giving attention to the self. And wherever attention goes, energy flows. And the moment you start to empower your original stage, immediately it becomes easy to change a storm into a gift. Yeah? Because when Maya comes, she comes to wage a war. That's her job. Okay, so there's no point in asking, why has she come? Why me? Why not somebody else? There's no point asking that at all. That's her job, and she will do her job very well. But when she's waging a war, she's also giving you an experience. Now, when you have a mechanism of checking yourself, then you start to see these experiences as a ladder to make you progress. They're not something to feed you, but it's something to make you progress. Because to check means in that moment to face something. And many times when we're attacked by Maya, what's the first thing you want to do? Run away, right? Oh, Daddy, help me. oh, Sister Jayanti, help me. I have this problem and this problem, and how am I going to fix it? And then we also hide behind the comfort of overthinking it. Yeah? Rationalizing a situation brings us a lot of comfort because it reduces the emotional trauma of a situation. You've got to know all these habits that take over when you don't check. And we make something that is potentially small bigger than it actually is. That's what happens when we don't check. So, your original stage, the moment you start checking, something inside the soul goes, hey, this isn't a big deal. You know, the voice of the soul will speak to you. I remember having this dream many years ago. And in this dream, Maya came to me, right? And she was in the form of this big woman, right? Fearsome looking woman. And I'm this little child sitting there, and she comes up to me, and she says, so, you think you can defeat me? And I look at her, and I say, no. And then I say, but I know someone who can. You know? And it was like this voice from the soul that just came out in that moment. You're not going to know what is in the soul if you don't give yourself that attention to check. You know, the soul has its own wisdom to actually speak to you and give you a way out of something. So, one of the other things that checking and changing does that I think quite a lot of us probably suffer from, and I know for me, definitely it was an element, is subtle concern. Subtle concerns, right? You know, people of the world suffer from worry. Yeah, and often people are worrying about money, worrying about physical elements, like money, the job, place, what. Okay, for Brahmins now, we have a deeper level of faith. We don't need to worry at that level. But we still hold concerns inside, right? Yeah. Concern that something should go well. Right? And our concerns come from subtle expectations. Now, what happens when you live with these subtle concerns is they get projected onto service. And you feel you're being good, you're trying to do the right thing, but you end up becoming intense in the wrong way. Does that make sense? Yeah? And so instead of being an intense effort maker, you become an intense service machine. And then you'll discover very quickly that your intensity is projected outwards when people start to react to you. Because they're not content with you. There's no contentment in the relationship. So checking will help you dissolve subtle concerns. Things that you need to let go of that are none of your business, you give them to Baba. Because that's what checking does. You look at it and you say, is this my problem? No, leave it. Hand it over. What is my problem? What is something I should be giving attention to? When we don't check, we take on somebody else's story, ours. That's what happens. Yeah. People have their own stories. There's a whole story going on around you. And we start to take that into our world. And we end up creating a culture of self-blame, which is really not helpful in Brahmin life to move forward. That's exactly what we did in bhakti. Right? Self-flagellation. Beat yourself up, feel guilty, and you think you're progressing. This is a very, very bad habit. Yeah? What is guilt? Guilt is unprocessed experiences. You just let things build up over a long period of time. They haven't been assimilated, they haven't been cleared, and they're biting your conscience. And guilt increases your lack of self-worth. So when you're experiencing, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm unworthy, you can't make effort. You can't check yourself. Because keeping a chart from that consciousness is a very, very heavy thing. You know, you start looking at everything you haven't done today, and you feel worse by the end of the day, right? And Baba said that that kind of checking a subject does, not a king. You know, Brahma Baba's methodology of keeping a chart from the early days was very much the checking of my inner kingdom. You know, if you are a master creator and you are a king, how are you going to rule a kingdom in the future and others if you can't even rule over your own kingdom inside? And a big part of that is checking. Now, one of the elements that happens also when we don't check is that everything we receive from Baba, virtues, powers, we use that on finishing our own obstacles. You know what I mean? We take a lot of time to use knowledge and powers over our own obstacles. This is an expenditure. And we have to save this time. So when you start to check, you actually, because you haven't let something build up inside yourself, you don't have to spend time clearing something. Yeah? But if you've let yourself go over a period of time, whatever you've let build up becomes an obstacle for you. Then you have to use the virtues and powers and knowledge on yourself to finish it. And so instead of your virtues and knowledge and powers being shared, right, for others where you can accumulate 100-fold, you use it on yourself. That time and energy has to be saved. That's very important. So it's important that we don't, when we're checking, it increases our ability that, so that we don't use our powers on just finishing our own obstacles. It's really a very important way to remain obstacle free. Now, there are three elements. One is a chart. Second is a register. And third is an account. Account. Register. Right? So, a chart is the checking of my internal vitals. Mind, how are you doing today? Intellect, where is your attention today? You know, it's like checking your blood pressure, your pulse, all of your vitals, your inner subtle organs. Drishti, what are you seeing today? Attitude, what are you holding on to? A register is often kept of your attendance, how you show up in class. And the other day, Baba used it in the context of virtues, right? A register of your divine. So a register is how you show up. It's of your activity and how you're relating to others. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah? And then an account is of profit and loss. How much have I accumulated today? And how much have I wasted? Accumulation and wastage. So these are three dimensions that are important in this process. Now, the prerequisite or keeping a chart means that what am I keeping a chart about? It's fine to check your mind. But what are you checking your mind about? Right? You can't check something just for the sake of checking. People keep a chart for progress. Means you have a beginning and you have a middle and you have an end. So it means you need to hold an aim in your awareness. An aim. Aim is required. The reason why people struggle to accept keeping a chart, a register, is because the aim is fluctuating inside. And you know, for us as Brahmins, aim is very simple. What's the aim? And what do they symbolize? Complete purity. That's the aim. I have to assimilate this religion of purity into my intellect. Wait a minute. What am I becoming here? What, is it possible I can become completely pure? My intellect has to accept this. You cannot keep a chart if your intellect hasn't accepted this aim. In a real way, huh? You know, again and again in my Brahmin life, I've had to think about this a lot. Realign myself to this original religion of purity. Because I love purity. Purity of mind, of thoughts, of actions, purity of heart. It's such a clean life. You know, to have a pure heart and a true heart and a true mind. It's such a beautiful way to live. And okay, you might say, we've never seen Lakshmi Narayan. Fine. Okay, we've never seen Sakar Baba, but all of you have seen Avyakta Bab Dada. So you know practically what complete purity can look like. You've watched, you've listened to, you've been in front of Avyakta Bab Dada. Right? So at some point, before you begin a charting process, you need an aim. You need to put a destination in front of you. You know, and for me, in these recent times, I've really brought back, begun daring myself. What is Avyakta Bab Dada's form? You look at Bab Dada's dharana. You know, Baba is sitting there in the middle of 20,000 children. And you'll see sometimes 20,000 children shouting, jumping, leaping, loud songs going on, and yet Baba's dharana? Baba just lets things happen. Introversion. Baba will speak when he has to speak and then goes inside. He doesn't correct everybody, now you do this, now you do that. He doesn't stage manage. Does Baba stage manage? No. Avyakta Bab Dada's dharana teaches us a lot about how we need to conduct ourselves in this time. Really. Because he's modeling it. And so for us, you know, when Baba says, check your thoughts and actions against Baba's, that's what you're checking for. It's a comparison process. You know, it's an alignment process, because ultimately, that's what Baba's asking from us, is to become like Him. Okay, we can't become God, but we can become equal in virtue and power. Right? And this is the beautiful thing about purity in Sangam Yuga. Purity in Sangam Yuga doesn't mean perfection. Purity in Sangam Yuga means to be a child of the Father. You know, I was sharing this yesterday in Hindi class. Why is it that Sri Krishna is loved so much? More than Narayan? No? Because he's a child. And the purity and the innocence of this child is so visible. Right? It's become, be with Baba as a child. No? We carry a lot of perhaps bhakti notions of purity. You know? Where perhaps at a, maybe just at a grossly physical level, we're punished. You know, we've associated, well, you have to be pure, and if you're not pure, you're going to be punished. You know, and the relationship of purity is lost. Because purity has just become an activity. But purity in Sangam Yuga is a relationship. In Satyug, we have pure relationships. Right? But the foundation of purity is now. That love of child and father. Now, when Baba talks about a chart, Baba has very clearly said, an accurate chart, means that you experience progress in every subject. And what are our subjects? Jnana, yoga, dharana, and seva. So when we're keeping a chart, it is of these four. And you know, you have to look at the level of knowledge. What are the gaps in your knowledge? You know, I remember doing this one time. I remember sitting down and going, okay, what are the things right now that I don't fully understand about Baba's Kyan? You know, many, many years ago. And I always used to remember this word, Baba saying, Master Almighty Authority. And he would say that all the time. And I think, what is a Master Almighty Authority? So I wrote it down. I want to know more about this. Right? I made a list of all the topics I wanted to know more about. Then I began a 3-month study program. I went through all the Avyakta Murali books in which Baba spoke about that topic. So I collected all the Muralis in relation to each of those topics. And I studied. Right? Because this is what helps create newness. You know, when we work with limited knowledge, our experience is limited. And for most of us, there's huge gaps in knowledge. Huge gaps in knowledge. Study is not enough. Because we've learned something up until now, but I don't ask myself, what more do I want to understand? Or maybe there are things I don't understand, but I don't make the effort to try and understand them. I just leave them misunderstood. This will create stagnation inside. Because whatever you don't understand, that's what you'll be tested in. Okay? That's how it works. Because the test is coming to say, so understand me, work it out. So it's a weapon. Knowledge becomes a weapon when you study. You know, it's the same with yoga. Ego comes in meditation. Oh, I had such a good experience today. Great, your yoga was good. But what newness did you experience? Yeah? You know, sometimes in yoga, we get experiences free of charge. Because Baba's our father. Baba's mother and father. So Baba has to give the child experiences. Yeah? But then, you sit back in, let's say you had a beautiful experience of peace and bliss today. Then, 2 days later, you sit down in meditation, and what do you want? You want that same experience again, right? Waste of time. Because yoga is not about reliving an experience. Yoga is about connection. Right? So when I connect, and I have an intention in this moment for receiving something from Baba, then I connect and I can receive a new experience. But if I just sit there and go, and I look back in the past and I say, I want that same experience again. Why isn't that experience coming? I'll sit for 10 minutes, 20 minutes and get stressed out because I'm not having that same experience of bliss again. Does that make sense? Yeah? Because yoga is about connection. And to build a constant connection, you know, if I want to connect with you, I'll think about, oh, I want to connect with you. Why? I have an intention. Check in with you, see how you are. It's the same in yoga with Baba. I have to keep having an intention to meet Baba. Yeah. And then it's possible to connect. So the checking of these four subjects. Now, one other element I want to cover is this word accurate. Because Baba all speaks remembrance. Yeah. But is my remembrance accurate? Because in Hindi we have a beautiful saying, Viddhi se siddhi prapt hoti hai. Means success comes with the right method. So if I'm not experiencing success in something, it means my method isn't accurate. And so even within yoga, if remembrance is according to the right method, then your original stage, the soul receives a lot of power. And it's this power that helps you finish influences. And so, you know, it's like it becomes a game. Your original power inside the soul, you can just turn an influence on its head. Finish it. See, it's like play with Maya, like playing with a game. You don't make something a big deal. The reason why something becomes a big deal is because we feel little. That's all. Many times you're walking around feeling this little. Do you walk around the courtyard of Pandavabhavan as a master creator? Or are you walking around as Nancy? Do you see what I mean? There's a big difference. Right? So accurate remembrance enables the soul to experience its unlimited identity. You know, my intoxication comes from my original identity. You know, there's this story in Bhakti about how the way you see yourself determines how you're going to behave. You know, Baba talks about it in the Murali. He says, there was one person in the room and he kept saying to himself, I'm a bull, I'm a bull, I'm a bull. So even if he could leave the door, he thought he couldn't leave. Why? Because he kept saying, I'm a bull, I'm a bull, I'm a bull. Right? So it's the same. You know, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not, and I can't, I pal, even if I can do it, even if I have all the support around me to do something, what happens? I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. You nail your own destiny like that. So the chart of remembrance is crucial. Because what remembrance does is it disables all this old belief systems we have. Right? About who we think we are. And the soul starts to experience the original, its original identity and intoxication. It is unlimited, it's eternal. You know? So, now, at a practical level, what does a chart have to look like? Baba doesn't say, Baba doesn't give us details about it. That is up to each one. Do you see what I mean? Baba gives us the principle. The principle of checking, the principle and checking what? And that we've covered. But how you're going to do it is up to you. Baba has given us indications. Keep a diary with you. You know, throughout the day. The thing about remembrance is most people check remembrance at the end of the day. And remembrance is a relationship. So you've got to make a chart of your remembrance at the beginning of your day. It's like you're giving yourself something to remember today. Does that make sense? Otherwise, what happens, if you check it at the end of the day, then of course your mind will have remembered everything else in the day, then you get disheartened. So it's very important, and Baba has actually given this direction, that after Amrit Vela, create a chart of remembrance. What are you going to give your mind to remember today? So yeah, your hands are doing the work. But what's your mind going to be doing? Huh? And then at the end of the day, when you check that chart, it will make sense. You'll be able to see progress. You don't just check your chart of remembrance at the end of the day just like that. You have to give it a focus at the beginning of the day. Then you check in at the end of the day. How much, to what extent was I able to fulfill that? Then you'll start to see progress. Otherwise, remembrance becomes time-bound. Oh, well, how many minutes did I do today? Or 2 minutes. The next day, oh, 3 minutes. Oh, gosh, that's so disheartening. The next day, 4 minutes. Oh, you know, it's depressing. So it's very, very important that your chart of remembrance is not just at the end of the day, it comes at the beginning of the day. So it sets your timetable. Yes, at the end of the day, the other chart, alongside the chart, is the chart of your activity. Right? So you will... the influences, you'll have to check what you shared today, your account of profit and loss, how many virtues and powers you shared today. Yeah? You'll have to note down any subtle threads of influence you noticed. Compare your activity of the day to Baba's. You know, somebody said something very nice to me today. I asked her, how do you check yourself? And she said, at the end of the day, I replay every scene with Baba. It's a very nice thing to do, right? Is you take every scene and you say, well, how would Baba be in this? Because that very act of comparison starts to finish a difference. And that's very important. Yeah. Now, it's up to you what flavor you want to give yourself. Yeah? And remember, this is also about playing with yourself. You have to play with yourself in a real way. You know, my chart began from writing a letter to Baba. And then after a while, as a young person, you know, you write a letter, you offload your emotions to Baba. It feels good. And then after a while, it gets boring. And then you think, okay, now what next? You can't... Baba, what's going wrong every day? You have to start doing something about it. Right? So then I started to think, okay, so what aspect is important for me now? And for me, I remember in the early days, drishti was very important, soul consciousness, you know? So I made a decision, you know, and I liked it. I thought, this I like. So if I like it, I'm going to start doing it. And I tied myself in the sweet bondage, my drishti. I said, I'm going to make the effort that whoever I come into interaction with today, I'm not going to speak, but I'm going to give drishti first. You know? They won't know it, but I'm going to see the soul first. Now, that was very difficult for me in the early days. Because, you know, the moment you start meet someone, what do? You start talking, don't you? Hello, how are you? How nice to see you. Right? And then in between, you know, the soul gets lost somewhere. Right? We tend to become familiar in our relationships. And I felt I want to put a pause when I meet someone. I'm meeting a royal child of my royal father. So I tied myself. I tied my drishti in this bondage. That's what I'm going to do today. And then after a while, when I felt, okay, that's changed, something else emerged, right? And maybe I went through some tests and storms and I suddenly had to think about, what does patience mean? Because I really lacked patience, right? So then that became the focus of my efforts for a short while. So in every way, it's an organic development of the need of the soul in that moment. Yeah? So whatever form it takes, is up to you. a letter, a few questions for yourself, a tick box, chart, stickers, gold stickers, you know. Let's say you've remembered, you sat in yoga today, had gold stickers, however you want to do it, it's up to you. But the principle is you're checking in, the muscle of going in and examining. Because what that helps you to do is become consistent. You know, it's fluctuation that makes you number wise. You enter the number wise game because you fluctuate. Yeah? And the thing about is that perhaps for some of us, the aim is clear. The aim is in our awareness. But we lack power. Why? Because the method for remembrance isn't accurate. And the chart of remembrance isn't being kept. You have to, this is crucial, you have to stay on top of your relationship with Baba and the quality of your relationship with Baba. Because that relationship makes you carefree. Deeply carefree. When you check and you give things to Baba, you can free your heart. And Baba gives you power back in return. So I want to stop there because it's 25 past and in 5 minutes we're going to start meditation. And there's probably a lot more, but was that helpful? Did that clarify? Yes? Sister had asked for this topic. It's up to you. Some people tend to have a kind of a left brain approach to charting, which is drawing big charts, graphs, tick boxes, percentage. So if that's your preference, it's up to you. If you're more right-brained, you draw pictures, you use stickers, you know what I mean? It depends on your nature as an individual. Baba has said, in a very simple way, keep a register. Like, if I'm focusing on developing a virtue, say patience, yeah, I have to think about, what is patience? How am I going to use patience today? Because your chart is being kept on the basis of the aim of effort you're making. If you're not having an aim in your effort, what are you checking? Does that make sense? That's crucial. And many people forget that. So, you know, for me, when I realized that there were certain test papers coming to me that were testing, they were asking for me patience, I was resisting and I was thinking, oh, I need to know more about patience here. What is this energy of patience? So I had to go look for Muralis on patience. I had to think about, how am I going to practice this for myself and how am I going to practice this in my relationship this week? Right? So then suddenly that became a focus. What I do say is your chart of remembrance is your bread and butter. That's your everyday process. Yeah? But your chart of activity will change. Because you focus your effort on a different virtue. Does that make sense? Yeah? But your chart of remembrance, that is your underlying bread and butter. It is the basics. You have to put that in place. And yes, it will be in terms of, you know, each one of us has to know how much I need to Baba in it. You know, Daddy said something very beautiful the other day. She said, whether I'm downstairs or upstairs, I'm always in front of Baba. Isn't that lovely? You know? This energy is such a subtle energy that I can remain present in front of Baba. Yeah? And then your chart becomes, well, how long was I absent today? You see my point? Or, You know, someone was saying the other day, oh, I'm checking my chart of remembrance to see how many times I go up to the soul world. I say, okay, but maybe you could think of it the other way. You think, well, how many times did I come down? Which means that's where I am. You see my point? Yeah? So it's a very subtle thing to keep yourself present in front of Baba. Yeah? No matter what happens, don't allow anything to come in between you and Baba. It's not worth it. It's absolutely not worth it. So time for one more question, and then we stop for meditation. Yukti, what is yukti yukti? The term yukti yukti, when it gets translated into English, is tactful. To be tactful. You know, to operate with the right method in that moment. So you're asking about avoiding somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people pull you and you have to avoid them. And yeah. I think for me, being yukti-yukt is about making a decision about the dharana I want to hold today. Okay? That means I don't want to listen to any rubbish. So then my focus isn't about avoiding somebody, because that's stressful. But my focus is I'm not going to take any rubbish in my intellect today. It's subtle. Okay. Om Shanti.